that floweth with milk and honey.
And now, Mistress Winslow, would you come forward and share some reflections that you wish to share with us?
Thank you so much. I am truly delighted to be in this congregation amidst these faithful folk. And I was so pleased to see the covenant that you recited together was, in fact, the Scrooby Church Covenant, which was the covenant that we wrote in 1606 in our church in Scrooby, England. And so I want to talk to you this morning just a bit, not about the time when we were here in America, but the reasons for which we came and where we had been dwelling first before our trip to America. And it all began, as John's Gospel does, with the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word dwelled among us. And so it was that in 1539, under King Henry VIII, the Bible was translated into the vernacular and made more common among the people, though not in great fashion. And so the Bible, which had been only the purview of the bishops and the Pope, became available to some small few within England. And so it did spread slowly but surely. And people could read the Bible. And what did they find when they read these scriptures? That the Vulgate translation that they had been told was the Holy Scripture by the church was false, and that God's presence was indeed with the people and not only with the priests and the bishops. It wasn't only through the bishops and the Pope that we might commune with God, but directly as people blessed and called. And so it was, as you well know, that Martin Luther nailed his theses and objections to the church door in Wittenberg, and thus began his protest. And the it's a bit shameful, actually. And so began the movement in the end of the 16th century. And we began to think and wonder about God in our lives, not just in the lives of the bishops. And might we be able to pray as we wanted to God as Christ commanded? But the Church of England, and at that time King James I, sought to persecute us and kill us, seeking our Bibles to burn. Our Bibles to burn, our Holy Scriptures to burn, lest we feel not our ability to pray as we so desired. And so we worshipped first in the church in Scrooby, and then we could no longer worship there, for we were sought after by the king's men, and we did retire to a manor house and worship there, and still we were sought, and some of us persecuted, and many hanged for believing in God. And it came to us that we must quit our homeland. It was not an easy decision to leave the land that you have known, that all your ancestors have known, but we could not any longer stay. And so we made provisions and plans, and in the dark of night, we crept through the fens and marshy lands of the northern England to the river and our awaiting boat to take us to Holland. And so the men boarded the boat first, and to secure its safe passage, they checked all riggings, and we were, the women and children, about to get into the small vessels and as well mount the ship, when across the fields came the English with their swords and bayonets, and we did run into the marshes and hide, and the boat set sail for Holland, and our men were gone. It took 2 more months for us to secure passage, and so we landed in Holland, in Amsterdam, a huge city, and it was odd and unfamiliar to us, a big city where we're country folk, husbandsmen and all. And so we sought a different city and found the city of Leiden. Do you know of Leiden, anyone? Leiden. Leiden is a university town. And so there are people there, free thinkers. There were people of all different faiths. The children are getting wiggly, I see. Are you still a deacon? You are the head deacon?
I am.
Oh, you have come so far. So might the children come forward, that the deaconess, remind me your name. Deaconess Seitzma might care for the children. Could the children come here, lest they get disruptive? That would be far better. All children right here on the floor, and Deaconess Seitzma shall see to you. Mind them, Master Morrison, as well. On the floor, please, sit. And mind yourself, no wiggling. Thank you. Thank you. And so we chose Leiden. And at Leiden, we were worshiping with people, in fact, of different color and different faiths. They taught us all we knew. You think that we wear only black and gray and dull colors, but do you not know of the flowers in Holland? The flowers and all their tinctures and dyes we wove into fabrics that were beautiful and colorful. And we sought also to dance. We were exposed to so many different people, like the colors you are wearing here. How wonderful is this? You should not have had this without nature and God's plants to make the dyes, to make your clothing. And so we reveled in the inclusive nature of our community in Leiden. But as time went on, the children became Dutch. And the children spoke Dutch and French, as did we at that time as well. And we realized that these were turning into Dutch people and not our faithful people. And once again, though it broke our hearts to leave what was then familiar, we decided we must come to England. We had been, in effect, in exile, as the ancient Israelites had been in Babylon, and was as the promise was to Abraham and Sarah of a new nation. It was a new nation under God we sought. And so we purchased a boat. Do you know what the boat's name was? Anyone? Yes. Well, almost. It wasn't actually the Mayflower. It was called the Speedwell. We purchased a boat called the Speedwell, and we sailed to England, and we met the Mayflower. And on the Mayflower, there were not saints such as we, for those the saints were those who worshipped and believed, but there were strangers, people who sought to come to the new land for profit and business, some to escape the law, but also not at all a worshipful lot. And so we set sail with 2 ships, the Speedwell full of the saints and the Mayflower full of the strangers. But the Speedwell sprung a leak, and we both turned back to Southampton, repaired the Speedwell, and set off again, 2 boats in tandem, and again did the Speedwell not spring a leak? And did we not all return and have to crowd into the Mayflower, saints and strangers alike, in 1 small boat? Do we know how many people are here gathered today? Equal, yes. 115 good souls in here. And so let me paint this picture for you. In the hold, the gun hold, where we stayed on the Mayflower, there were 102 of us. So we'll just remove these first two pews. And the rest of you, imagine, from the back wall of the church to that back wall, to here, all of you would go over there. And that is the space you should occupy for 66 days. It was 58 feet by 24 feet, and just 5.5 feet tall, which is as tall as I am. And there were, this is where you strung small sheets to give you some privacy, perhaps. But all this, you never left. You ate, you supped, you slept. You were ill, many of you. Your chamber pots were amongst you as well. And this is where you were for 66 days. Saints and strangers, all. Having to figure out how to get along, for no disharmony could be accepted in such a small space. And when we landed in Cape Cod, we had to decide how we should go forth to govern ourselves, to unite ourselves. For we, odd people of one faith and of a different, had been thrown into the same boat. And I hear tell that in your country at this time, there is somewhat of the same situation. You are all in the same boat, are you not? And so you must find a way to join together. You must set your names upon the faith and principles on which this country was founded. And yet, did we write the Mayflower Compact, holding forth the rights of all people in equal measure to prosper in God's realm. And there were amongst us scoundrels, most knowingly Master Billington and his family, who was a rogue until the day he was hanged, for he did commit murder. And he was hanged, the first in our colony, and it broke our hearts to treat him so, but there was no choice. He was a difficult and awful man. And so there were...
Winslow, I hear a shot.
Oh, no.
Say
not so, Master Morrison. Let him through, let him through. Oh, no. Oh, no. God save us. God save us.
What's going on here?
Master Billington, what are you doing here? Oh, Master Morrison, let him in. Come in and behave yourself. Could you leave your musket outside? There are no guns.
Mistress Winslow, what place is this?
This is a sanctuary, Master Billington, not, in fact, a place for you. What are you doing here? You were not invited.
I was out for a hunt.
You were out for a hunt?
And I...
Did you catch anything? Did you shoot anything?
No, someone gave a yell and scared it. I tell you.
What are you doing here?
I'm asking myself that same question, Mistress Winslow. I was out for a hunt and suddenly, what place is this?
Do you remember that we worshipped in Plymouth?
Yes.
And did you partake of such worship in Plymouth?
Rarely.
And in the end, do you think that your demise had anything to do with your lack of faith?
My demise.
You know.
Oh, my demise, of course. It may have.
Yes.
Yeah. That newcomer, he had it coming. John Newcomer, he had it coming.
There is no excuse to murder, Master Billington. No excuse to murder. And I'm not sure what lesson you can give to these fine people here today.
That boat was really small. You people were so holy.
We were a worshipful.
I came here to make some money. Nobody was going to do it. Everything I tried failed. Even my no-good son moved out of the house into Francis's place there. Nothing worked.
And so your reason for coming to America was what?
I wanted the opportunity, Mistress Winslow. I wanted the opportunity to make my life a better life.
And you were thinking just of yourself, were you?
Yes. You got me there.
And so there was, you see, a ragtag lot of people.
Ragtag, Mrs. Winslow?
Well...
Ragtag, really?
You must admit you were of rougher sort than the saints.
Yes.
But he was welcomed in our community. He who sought his own living and sought to prosper in an economic sense, though he in particular did choose some means that did not comply with the civil politic on which we had founded ourselves. But yet we did together stay once we could in fact leave the Mayflower, which, do you know when we left the Mayflower? Well, I'll tell you, we landed and we set anchor, but we had to again stay on the boat for 3 months while our houses were being built. It was a long time, yes? Do you have a question? When did... That's absolutely... How brilliant of you. How brilliant. Are there other questions that any of you might have for me or for Master Billington or Master Morrison? Yes. What did we have to eat in those 3 months? Gruel, mostly, and beer. The water was not fit for consumption, and we did not dare drink water. So mostly gruel. We did, with us on the Mayflower, have some pigs and some chickens and some hens, but we did not eat them, feeling that they were important to settle in the country. It was very little that we had to eat. And in fact, in that we lost one man on the journey, and one was born, Oceanus was born, to Mistress Hopkins. And I myself, I might add, took up a great deal more space than I might have ordinarily, as I was full pregnant on the journey of the Mayflower and gave birth to my delightful son, Peregrine, in November in Provincetown. But it was not a lot to eat, and times would only get worse, as in that first winter, more than half of our group died, leaving only 4 women to 10 to 34 children and 14 men. And that was what happened our first winter once we had landed in the promised land. Are there other questions?
You, there was a few of them I'm not missing.
Yeah. Yes, Master Billington. Yes, thank you so much. Of course chickens lay eggs, yes, but we did not have that many chickens, so the eggs, you can imagine, were well sought after well sought after. But then once we landed and had our houses built, we were careful to raise those chickens and let them coddle their eggs and spread the brood abroad. Any other questions? Yes. In America, we were taught a great deal of inclusiveness and welcome when we were in Leiden. And then when we arrived here, we came to respect and honor the Indians who surrounded us and taught us so much. And though their faith was not our own, our respect for theirs was great.
What is the difference between a pilgrim and a puritan?
Oh, what a good question.
If you ask,
don't
me,
you have
not very much?
I believe you were not asked. So all the Puritans were a group of people who also were following Martin Luther and hoping to separate and purify the Church of England. But they believed that you could purify the Church of England while staying within the Church of England.
God save the king.
And we did not believe that this was possible. The pilgrims became true separatists and said that the church could not be cleaned from within, but we must remove ourselves from the Church of England and strike out on our own. And thus we were pilgrims in a foreign land.
The Church of England was a perfectly fine way to worship, Mr. Winslow. Perfectly fine.
That coming from one who rarely set foot in its doors or sought to worship any god whatsoever. Any other questions? And so I thank you so much for having us here. I will remove... Master Morrison, I think that while all is going well, you might escort Master Billington out before things take a turn. Master Billington, I shall talk with you later, no doubt.
Later, Mistress Winslow.
You must exit at this time.
Yes, Master Morrison.
You made your statement.
Yes, indeed I did. God save the king!
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Thank you, children, so much for being here.